As you've been hearing there in the bulletin, there are protests organised in three cities today, Dublin, Cork and Limerick, in solidarity with Natasha O'Brien and other female victims of violence. The Defence Forces has begun internal proceedings in relation to a serving soldier who pleaded guilty to beating Natasha O'Brien unconscious in a random street attack for which he received a fully suspended sentence. Cathal Crotty of Park Row Heights, Ardna Crusher, County Clare, had initially tried to blame the innocent victim, 24-year-old Ms O'Brien, by wrongly telling Gardaí who arrested him that Ms O'Brien had instigated that attack on O'Connell Street, Limerick, on May 29th, 2022. But after he was shown CCTV footage of him setting upon her, he admitted his guilt, Limerick Circuit Court heard. Judge Tom O'Donnell described Crotty's actions as utterly appalling and referred to the significance of his guilty plea in that it had eliminated the necessity for a trial, which would have compounded the trauma for Ms O'Brien, and that if Crotty had contested the case, it may have prolonged the case by approximately 18 months. Natasha O'Brien told Drive Time yesterday that she didn't feel she got justice for herself or for others.
I told the judge, I'm here to seek justice, and not just for myself, but to protect others from the violence and malice that I experienced. And from that statement alone, justice was, I don't feel that I received any justice, and I don't feel that the Irish public have, the citizens of Ireland have received justice. I think it's really, really let down victims in the system of justice.
And that was Natasha O'Brien speaking to Drive Time, covering some of the issues indeed she covered in her victim impact statement. Marion Harkin, to you first from Sligo. What was your reaction when you heard of, I suppose, Natasha O'Brien's feelings about the sentencing in this case?
Well, I have to say my reaction was visceral, because if you look at what happened, he brutally beat her. He then boasted about it on social media. Then he tried to blame the victim. And finally, when the evidence was so overwhelming against him, CCTV evidence, etc., he accepted his guilt. But it's just classic. And right now I have many people texting me, emailing me, sending me WhatsApp. What can we do? Women feel that they just need to do something about this. So my reaction is both as a woman and as a politician. And I was angry. I was angry for people like my sisters, my friends, my nieces. I mean, that this could happen to them. And I was also sad, Colin, because there's a huge sadness here. There's lives that are impacted. The impact of this will never ever go away, but not just in this case. It's for all the other cases. And while I won't go into it in detail now, we have the recent report from Women's Aid, which shows the alarming increase in domestic abuse crimes and over the last period of time. And this is, it's all part of a wider picture. But as I said, as a woman, my reaction was visceral. Women don't feel safe. And the, while I don't want to go into the detail of what happened in the court, because I don't want to prejudice any appeal or anything like that, at the same time, we need to know that when somebody is found guilty, and it's a very, very long, hard road to get to that point, but at least when that happens, that, that there will be a message that this is totally unacceptable. I'm not going to talk about what a sentence should be, but the message should be clear that violence against women, that beating up women in public or in private, is not just unacceptable. It's just something that won't be tolerated in our society. And that message was not made clear this week.
Duncan Smith, your reaction. Natasha O'Brien has spoken eloquently, as I say, both in her victim impact statement and in subsequent interviews, of her experience of the court system and her reaction to the sentence after what she went through. What was your own reaction?
I was utterly repulsed by the judgment. I think Natasha O'Brien herself has spoken with great bravery, but has said she does not feel she's gotten justice, and she hasn't. The message, given everything, and Deputy Harkin so eloquently and passionately put it there, the details of this attack, the celebration by the perpetrator of this attack on social media afterwards, and for this sentence to be carried, to be passed down, and for the victim to then say that she didn't feel justice, I'm absolutely repulsed by it. The Minister for Justice has put front and foremost of her own platform as Minister to work against violence against women and domestic violence. And when judgments like this happen and when justice isn't served, then it makes a mockery of that. And it was just a repugnant attack and a repugnant action. And justice has not been served here. And I think that's the feeling throughout the state.
All right. Malcolm Noonan, the actions, first of all, of Natasha O'Brien were quite exemplary in her conduct on the street. Herself and her friends saw somebody having abuse shouted at them. They tried to stage an intervention, I suppose, and protect that person from being abused on the street. They said, basically, come off it, lads, to the group that were shouting the abuse. And this is what happened. And somebody else, another male pedestrian, intervened to pull Cathal Crotty off her. I mean, we have examples of how people should behave in these situations and then this appalling attack being perpetrated on her. But she's left with a feeling that that herself and other victims don't fare very well in bringing forward complaints.
Yeah, and certainly, first of all, just to join with Marion and Duncan, just to commend the courage of Natasha in coming forward and speaking out, because she's speaking out for a lot of other victims of gender-based violence across the country. And we do, and I agree with the sentiments of Rose in this regard, that we do need to create a culture where gender-based violence is completely not tolerated in this country. And I think that's something that Minister McEntee is committed to addressing. The wider issues around safety on our streets and is something that is a wider societal issue as well. I think we were seeing attacks of this nature all too often in our towns and cities across the country. And I do think that while not wanting to prejudice, there is still a judicial process underway. There might be an appeal by the DPP, and I know that the Defence Forces are acting as well. But in this particular instance, I think this is a watershed moment. I think it's one of those watershed moments where a woman has been brutally attacked, and which we all condemn unequivocally, which we're sickened by, completely sickened by. But she's had the courage now to speak out for other women, and I think it's trying to take from this an opportunity to collectively in the Oireachtas, but all, through every facet of society, to try and address this issue once and for all.
All right. I think one of the points of frustration is that, you know, perhaps people feeling the need that they have to speak out, Marion Harkin. The other issue that came up was the role of members of the Defence Forces in this trial, and specifically the formal role of a superior officer in the Defence Forces. We're not speaking about this particular case, but the general role of superior officers in the Defence Forces being required by a court to come before the court under the Defence Forces regulations and to read into the record the military disciplinary record of the person, which may well be at odds with their behaviour that has led to their conviction. What do you think of the regulations that have that requirement, and do you think they need to be looked at?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm not au fait with the precise regulations, but
maybe for the listeners' benefit, yeah. in military regulations, it says that the officer detailed to be present at a civil trial of a soldier will be furnished by a soldier's commanding officer with a certified copy of the soldier's record sheet. Copies of any other documents in the possession of the unit relevant to the soldier's previous service or conduct or to previous trials or convictions of the soldier by a civil court. And then it says in the next paragraph, if required by the court, he will furnish any information in his possession as to the soldier's character and service. So it's at the discretion of the court, it seems, that person can be called before the court. Should that be looked at?
I think that should be looked at, because obviously if that's part of the law that's there, the person who must report has no choice but to do so. But we need to look at that, because we have this whole broader issue of character references and what weight they carry and whether people should be questioned. And this sometimes just queers the pitch entirely, because you know, we have to look at the circumstances of the case. And I've listened to my colleague Tom Clonan and the campaign that he has been involved in over many years. As to, we're talking about culture here, we're talking about ways of thinking and ways of doing business. And that all needs to be looked at. It seems as if there's a sense that when a member of the Defence Forces is on trial for whatever it might be, that there is this possibility to do so. I really think maybe the courts should look at that and, you know, at the very least, that there should be questioning of the person who's providing that evidence, and that it shouldn't be just read into the record as if it's 100% correct and without doubt.
Okay. I think the criminal barrister, Michael O'Higgins, senior counsel, spoke about this back following a previous court case in 2017. He said character references are not given much weight by the court, and the instruction when writing a character reference, and it should be pointed out that what was read into the court record in Limerick on Thursday was not a character reference. It was something of a different nature. But when character references are being required, that there is an opening paragraph that says the person who's providing them writes that they do not condone in any way the actions of the person before the court. But do you think a harder look needs to be had at character references, Duncan Smith?
Yeah. It absolutely does. And it gets back to victim impact statements and what they say after cases. We've heard it many times. Cases before the courts, the perpetrator, you know, the character reference is written in, and they almost, you know, good family man, insert support for local sports club here, insert on the board of credit union, resident association, whatever it is, all absolutely irrelevant to the crime that is being tried in the court. And it just serves to inflate and continue this culture where the victim, and we're talking about gender-based violence here, we're talking about violence against women, where the victim feels that their society
and we're talking in generalities.
This is all in generalities here. But this is, we're all nodding our heads here because we've heard this multiple times before, and we hear it time and time again from victims. These character references, which can't be cross-examined, they only serve to perpetrate this culture that it is okay, or that this is somehow an exceptional event, exceptional crime carried out by someone who otherwise is of good character. That's absolutely irrelevant. It's the crime, it's the repugnant crime, the crime of violence, misogynist-based crime that needs to be tackled. And we need a culture whereby the victim feels safe and supported and fairly treated in the courtroom. And these character references don't add to that.
Okay, I'll come to you in a moment, Malcolm Noon, because there is legislation progressing through the Oireachtas at the moment. But I do want to just go to the impact of character references on victims when considering as to whether or not they would even bring forward a prosecution. Senator Annie Hoey, a Labour Party senator, who herself was the victim of a sexual assault in her 20s, spoke in front of the Seanad about when she was making up her mind as to whether she would progress with making a criminal complaint, the impact of potentially character references being aired in court, the impact that had on her decision as to whether or not she'd go forward with such a complaint. And this comes from April 2022, when this legislation was in front of the Seanad.
You know, I went through the process, reported to the guards, I went to the statute clinic, I did everything that I had to do, and before I'd even left the door, a guard was talking to me, effectively a character reference of that person, how they'd heard that this person and someone had said to them that, you know, we've never done anything like this before. I was like, did last night. And before I'd even gotten out the door, there was, you know, a character reference happening, and I knew that there was absolutely literally no way that I was going to be able to go through, even if it was chosen by, you know, the DPP to be prosecuted, which seemed unlikely given the circumstances. There was absolutely and utterly no way I was going to be able to go through a trial, and there was absolutely and utterly no way if a male guard had said to me, you wouldn't do this, that I was going to be able to sit there and listen to what was inevitably going to be lots and lots of people saying, he didn't do it, it was your fault, are you sure this actually happened? That this farcical situation of people lining up and saying what a great person they are when they've done such a terrible thing will hopefully end, and we just have a justice system that is based on evidence, truth, innocence, guilt, and doesn't put a victim through something that I cannot imagine going through.
And that was Labour Senator Annie Hoey speaking back in 2022. Separately, Malcolm Noonan, Helen McEntee, the Justice Minister, said yesterday that legislation is advancing to end the practice of written character references in gender-based violence cases. In other words, that pro forma letters can be put before the court without the person who wrote them being cross-examined, that people will now have to make themselves available for cross-examination, and they, the character reference would have to be treated as a sworn document.
Yeah, and I have to say I welcome that. And that came forward from a bill that was brought forward by my colleague, Senator Pauline Riley, Regina Doherty and Lisa Chambers. And Minister McEntee took on board that into her bill, which I think is to be welcomed.
Do you know when it'll be passed?
I'm not sure. I think it's due to be passed hopefully reasonably soon. I can't put a date on it. I'm not sure about the progression of that piece of legislation. Again, just to commend Senator Hoey on her courage. I mean, you can hear the emotion in her voice speaking there. I mean, this practice really of, as Duncan has said, of these character witnesses and saying what a fantastic person this individual is. I think the opportunity to cross-examine those character, the people who put forward those character references, I think is a welcome development. And I think it might take a more cold light of those character references.
And following the events of this week, perhaps afforded a greater priority even?
Again, I'm not sure. I mean, the particularly in relation to this case, I mean, we go back to the Defence Forces and the regulations and the necessity for an officer to be present in the court. The Defence Forces are taking their own action in relation to this particular case. But I do think that in general, and I make this general point, that women have to feel safe that they can come forward with a complaint. There has to be a culture here in this country where women feel safe that they can make a complaint about gender-based violence, about a sexual assault, and that they're going to be listened to and that they're going to be treated fairly in the system, because currently there's far too many anomalies that are happening across the country in relation to this.
Okay, and if you've been affected by anything yet you've heard in the previous segment, you can go to rte.ie/helplines, where there's lists of places you might contact about any issue that has arisen for you. We're going to have a look at the Aer Lingus pay dispute next.
Saturday with Conor Mungon on RTE Radio 1.